Joining us on the line is Kwara Kikana, and she is the spokesperson for the MEC for Health. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for asking. I'm good. And how are you?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. You're probably less frustrated than you are, but I think that I actually find it completely offensive that with all of this going on and with the incredible amount that you guys have on your plate, and I have to commend you because I think you're doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job, but that with everything that you guys have to deal with, you've got to come onto various radio stations and talk about fake news. Isn't that annoying?
It's annoying and it's deeply, deeply frustrating. But what it also does, and people don't appreciate this, it's that it really undermines the work of health workers. And I'll give you an example. Just yesterday, when we were conducting some of the screening and the testing, program in some of the communities, you've seen that video, and people have seen that video that's making the rounds with this guy who's inserted that earbud, if you will, that we use for the nasopharyngeal testing that takes place and that is contaminated. Because of that fake video, a lot of people were skeptical about the tests and the screenings, and some even vehemently refused to engage in that exercise. So that is the kind of, when we say it undermines the work of health workers, that's what we mean. So now it means that a portion of a community that we've gotten through yesterday, we now have to revisit, have a separate conversation with them, allay their fears, because of a video. And in addition to that, this particular video, we must put it on record that the man has since been arrested from what the reports we've gotten, and criminal charges have been laid against him.
Good. Because, we were getting messages from listeners yesterday, very frustrated, saying, you know, they're speaking to people and people are telling them, no, you can't go for tests. And this is the kind of thing that we were dealing with yesterday. And I thought, this is insanity. It's dangerous. It's irresponsible. This is not what we have. There's so much to be dealing with in terms of information. And we know that we have experts on the show. We speak to doctors trying to get the latest in terms of what's happening around the world in research. This isn't the conversation we should be having.
No, this is not definitely the conversation we should be having. You know, we should be in discussing actively how people should continue to respect the lockdown regulations, people that don't need to be in the streets should not be in the streets as a way to prevent further spread of COVID-19 and to contain the virus as well. That is the conversation that we need to be having.
What do you do? I mean, there's this guy, we read the reports this morning. We were very happy to see that he has been arrested, but he's also clearly one of those guys about the 5G and the conspiracy theories. And how do you wade through all of that? Because even though it's frustrating, you've actually got to get the right information out there. How do you, attack this from your side?
So, I mean, you know, the nice thing, of course, is that, you know, there's a collective effort from all, government institutions and different departments that's really trying to make sure that there's a communication that, that's verifiable information that's coming through, reliable information that's coming through, credible information that's coming through that people can read up on as well. So what becomes important as well is that people need to be visiting, if they can, key platforms such as the NICD website, the World Health Organization website, the Gauteng Department of Health digital platforms, the National Department of Health digital platforms, and the websites as well that have enabled people to be, easily accessed to verified information. So that's what becomes quite important. And the other thing is that, collectively through community radio stations, stations like yourself as well, to assist us in the conversation to say, this is where the right, information, where this is where we can get the right information, basically.
The department has managed to, I don't want to use the word upskill, that's the wrong word, I'm trying to think of what the word is, but you've managed to get organized very, very quickly in terms of communication platforms. How much of a challenge was this to be able to identify platforms, decide on ways in which to communicate with people, decide how often you were going to be briefing the community. That must have been an immense amount of effort to plan and strategize that. And a strategy which I imagine might keep changing as more information becomes and need becomes available.
Absolutely. So the one thing also is that, you know, the conversation around COVID-19 globally is evolving. Locally in South Africa, it's evolving as well. So even the conversations that we're picking up from, you know, so social media, what people are, the kind of people are yearning to be, you know, informed on as well. So I think that, you know, you're right. It's, you know, the strategy has to be dynamic. It has to be agile as well. And even our response has to be dynamic and agile in order to accommodate, you know, the rapid rate at which the conversation around COVID-19 is evolving, but also information around COVID-19 is evolving. Just to give you an example, and even at the clinical level, for example, when it started in December, January 2019, the case definition for COVID-19 specifically spoke about, it said somebody has to have traveled to Wuhan city in China. And then at some point it was the province where Wuhan is. And then it became about the mainland China. It then expanded to other countries. So every single day, even when we engage with people to say, what is the criteria for testing? What are we looking for in our screening? So that thing is evolving constantly as well. Then you started having local transmissions, which means the case definition as well expands, and it demands of us to then say who gets screened. So that's that kind of thing. You know, the conversation evolves rapidly, and information changes quite quickly.
Absolutely. And again, just to commend you and to commend the department, in fact, the whole government. I've spoken with members of parliament. I've spoken with opposition leaders, and I find it absolutely phenomenal. We really, you know, when we look across, and it's not for you to comment on this. I don't want you to say something you shouldn't, but when I look across to the United States and to the UK and to other areas and how they are still fighting amongst each other, I feel very, very proud of how South Africans, both on at all government levels, as well as the people of South Africa, who very largely have accepted this, who are taking the lead from government and who are abiding by the recommendations. I feel very, very proud as a South African in terms of the work that the whole country is doing to try and move forward in this way. So well done to you for giving people the confidence to be able to adhere. And I just hope that you can spend more time on dealing with real information and imparting real information rather than debunking the nonsense that people are trying to put out.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for that. But I think also what we've really seen that's taking place within the health system is that we're seeing the private sector really stepping up as well, and just pledging, you know, the resources that they have, you know, at moment's notice. When you raise an issue to say there's a shortage of 1, 2, 3, really there isn't a point where we're caught punting. And we're really still appealing to those that can assist us to please continue to lend a hand. And one key issue in Gauteng that we're really trying to gather stock on is personal protective equipment as well as ventilators.
Right.
For the specials. And this is important that I should, you know, make emphasis on this, on the special sites that we're setting up, that would potentially assist the existing health facilities, you know, carry the capacity of any cases that might come up that the facilities might no longer be able to carry. So we're setting up special sites, and obviously people will also be following the conversation around the special quarantine sites that we already have. We reported on 76 students that were based at Birchwood Hotel that were released from quarantine on Sunday morning. So those special sites do exist, but we're looking at a stage where we might have possible cases that we need specialized equipment and workers will need personal protective equipment. So we're looking at donations, calling on donations for that report.
Yeah, so how do, assuming any of our listeners are able to help at all, what do they, how do they get, well, we've got your number, so perhaps they can just message us and then we'll pass that information on.
Yes, but additionally, we can also drop an email to covid19.donations@gauteng.gov.za.
Oh, brilliant. So just give that address again. That's probably the better thing to do.
COVID. Definitely, covid19.donations@gauteng.gov.za.
Absolutely fantastic. I'm going to stop it there. The line is just not a great one. That is Kwara Kakana, who is the spokesperson for the MEC for Health. Thank you for taking the time, and just keep up the amazing work that you are doing.